Well, good morning. It's October 21st, 2004. It's about 9:39 a.m. here in Houston, Texas, where it's very hot and very humid. As a matter of fact, yesterday we had a record high, and today we're expected to have yet another record high, 94 degrees. Currently it's 75 degrees and 96% humidity. Yay. Wanted to start out this morning, remind everybody that this podcast is being recorded and produced completely on a Palm One Trio 600 cell phone. So if you hear any pops and clicks and background noise, I must apologize. I'm still refining the process. But I have this morning actually hooked up a pair of external speakers, portable speakers. They're actually smaller than the phone itself, to play the fade-in and fade-out music. Seems that when the Trio is playing the music through its built-in speaker, the phone cuts the microphone on and off and makes for a very bad experience. Interesting thing, I don't know if you caught 60 Minutes last night. There was a follow-up on Kevin Mitnick, probably one of the most famous hackers. Arrested in 95, he was FBI's most wanted hacker, released from prison, I believe, in 2000, and seems to have really come a long way. In his own words, he says he's finally grown up, but right now he's making his money. He's doing the public speaking circuit, telling people about threats and how to protect themselves against it. He's also a self-described ethical hacker, where he hacks computer systems, but only for money now. It was really interesting. The things that got him arrested really didn't make him a profit at all, but now he's getting paid to hack. So, hey, you know, it's a great gig if you can get it, I suppose. Other thing I wanted to mention, the Houston Astros are going into their Game 7 in their quest for the World Series, which I think is outstanding. I'm not a huge baseball fan. Actually, I'm kind of a reverse fair weather fan. I typically don't go to baseball games unless they're doing really poorly, because the tickets are cheap, and more often than not, I've shown up at the stadium and there's been people outside literally giving them away. Problem is, when the team starts doing well, you can't get a ticket, and if you can, you can't afford them. I understand in St. Louis last night, standing room only tickets were $45, and you know, to me, that's just not right. You build these guys a brand new stadium, and you try and support them all year long, and then, you know, just when things start getting good, boom, stick it to you. So, the Houston Chronicle has a funny little thing in the paper today, the World Series versus the Super Bowl, and the byline just says TMI staff. I'm not quite sure who that is, but the article says the top 10 reasons why the Astros run for the World Series is better than the Super Bowl, which I'm not really sure I agree with, but okay. The number 10 reason is there are no cheesy cheerleaders. Junction Jack's fluffy bunny tail beats the stuffing out of the Jaguars' top cats. Number 9 is peekaboo. Only one player on the field has to hide his face behind a mask. I'm not really sure that's a positive thing or not, but number 8, the spirit of generosity. In baseball, umpires and players toss the balls to the fans. In football, they put up a net to save their precious pigskins. Yeah, I guess that's interesting. Number 7, we can relate. Most people know what it's like to strike out, but few have fumbled a pass. Well, I'm certainly in that category. Number 6, there is a home team. It's always better if you have a dog in the hunt. Well, that goes without saying. Number 5, more to love. There are potentially 4 post-victory parties instead of 1. Personally, I think that should be the number 1 reason. Number 4, better backsides. Catcher Brad Asmus versus Patriots quarterback Tom Brady. Brady wins. I'm sorry, I misread that. It says Brad wins. It's one of the problems with doing this podcast on a trio. I can't edit the file, and I don't feel like stopping and going and starting all over again. Part of the point is an exercise to see if I can do this in one take. Number three, no Incredible Hulks. Baseball players look like real people who could fit into your car. Well, apparently these people have never stood by baseball players. They've got calves the size of tree trunks and arms even bigger. These guys are huge. Number two, the human factor. Instant replay doesn't decide calls. Well, hear, hear. And number one, no halftime show and no chance of a wardrobe malfunction. Yeah, I'm not really sure that's a plus, but hey, you know, whatever. The other interesting thing in the Houston Chronicle today was the on the front page, an article that says 9 Texans in Congress got flu shots. Apparently, just a couple days after it was announced there was a shortage, these people all got shots right there on Capitol Hill by the doctor. You know, hey, I don't know really what to say about that. Yeah, we have a shortage. You know, I don't know. I haven't gotten mine yet, and it doesn't look like I'm going to be able to this year. And I'm really not that worried about it. Of course, I'm young and healthy. My wife, who is far more organized than I am, got hers about 6 weeks ago when there was no wait and no shortage and no problem. So, you know, there's something to be said for keeping an organizer, I suppose. Alright, well, that's enough of the Houston news. You know, I was looking through iPotter.org yesterday, and I saw an article on the genealogy of podcasting. And I think there was something that was kind of left out. It's not really podcasting, but it's the same basic concept. It's kind of the forerunner, I suppose. A company called Audible, audible.com. A lot of people are familiar with them. If anybody is out there listening to this, I'm sure you're already familiar with all of the online services for downloading audio files and, of course, all of the various players. But there are a couple things that I don't think people really realize. I mean, Audible deals really only in spoken word files, books, you know, articles, things like that. They have a subscription service where you can get various NPR programs, various computer-related programs. You can even get the Wall Street Journal if you're so inclined. Downloaded to your computer every morning about 5 o'clock. You can have it automatically sync with your player, and they support a whole lot of different players, not just the Trio, or I've also got a Duo DX MP3 player, which, by the way, I think is probably one of the most underrated MP3 players out there. This thing, to me, is just phenomenal. If you're not familiar with the Duo DX, it is the exact size and shape of a cassette. It looks like a cassette. It's got the holes and everything in it, brushed aluminum finish. And it's really interesting because you can either slip an MMC card into it, or you can hook it up through a USB port, and you can put MP3 files on it, you can put Audible files on it, you can put all kinds of things on it. And the beauty of this device is you can either plug a pair of headphones into it, or you can just pop the whole thing into a cassette player and hit play. I used to do a lot of traveling, and very rarely would I get a rental car that had a CD player, so this thing was just perfect. You can also pop it into a cassette recorder and hit record, and record to an MP3 file, and then dump it back to your computer. And it's also got a little cable where you can do an inline recording, plug it into an audio source. So that's the Duo DX. Made from a company called Digiset, and I think it's a hell of a little gizmo. I bought mine about 2 years ago. It was $189, and I just saw them on sale at Radio Shack for $89. So I'm afraid the company may be going out, but hey, you know, get them while you can. It's a neat little deal. Anyway, back to Audible. So you can get you can go out there and subscribe to you know, some periodical, either a daily or a monthly periodical. They've got the Harvard Science Review, a bunch of different things, and it just automatically syncs with your computer and syncs with your player, and voila, it's there. So that's kind of the the same concept, I suppose, as iPodding, but of course it's professionally produced and it's a fee service. But it's interesting. In my first broadcast yesterday, I said that I would throw out, you know, maybe a few Trio tricks and utilities. I want to start off by telling you all who own Trio 600s about a really, really slick email client. If you've got a Trio 600 and you use it to get your email, then you're probably familiar with POP3 and SMTP. Basically, you can, at whatever interval you choose, every 5 minutes, 10 minutes, every hour, every 2 hours, check to see if you've got email automatically. There are services out there that will actually push the email to your phone. Good is probably one of the most famous. They're also very expensive. And they require hardware. You either have to run software on your computer somewhere, or you have to put a server up. And it runs about $300 per person per year to keep the licenses going. The biggest benefit to Good is that it not only constantly keeps your email up to date, it also keeps your contacts and your appointments and everything synchronized with your Exchange server, so that's kind of cool, but it's not really an option for the individual person out there. There's a program out there called Chatter Email, and it's really a slick little email client. It uses the IMAP protocol, which most ISPs support. It's not used very often. Most people go with the POP3 route, and that's the end of it. But if your ISP supports IMAP, or if you are synchronizing or getting your email from an Exchange server or some other server that supports IMAP, this is a great little program. What it does is it logs in and it establishes an IMAP connection with your server, and it initiates an IMAP idle command, which is part of the IMAP spec. Not all email servers conform strictly to the IMAP spec, but most of them do. Anyway, while it's in this idle command, if you should receive an email, it pushes the email to your phone and then alerts you that a message is waiting. So there's no constant logging in and logging out. The battery drain in my tests has been minimal. The only time I saw any significant battery drain was when I took a road trip through Central Texas, and I was going in and out of coverage area. Apparently, when you go in and out of coverage area and it tries to reestablish that IMAP idle connection, it burns up your battery pretty well. But here in Houston, just around town, I turn on Chattermail and I let it go all day long, and I really don't have any battery problems at all. It's a heck of a little program. So you get an email, you know instantly. Literally within, I'm seeing within 3 or 4 seconds of an email being received, boom, my phone's beeping. And you can set it to beep, vibrate, pop up a message. You can even set it to toggle your LED, you know, that useless LED on the Trio 600 that just sits there and blinks. Well, you can have it blink rapidly, you can have it change red, you can have it change orange, you can do a whole bunch of things to indicate that you have an email waiting. It's a very slick little program. It's available at www.chatteremail.com. That's chatteremail.com. Don't go to Chattermail, go to Chatteremail. You get a 30-day free trial. After that, it's $25. And the author promises lifetime upgrades for that $25. I'm on my 13th revision. It is in beta. Please do understand that. But this lucky number 13 appears to be incredibly stable. As a matter of fact, I have absolutely no problems with it whatsoever. It's just a workhorse of a little application. It is still in beta, and it does not handle attachments, but he is working on that, and I'm sure that will be coming. And for $25, you're going to get the next version for free. So that's a lot better than Snappermail, which is another outstanding email application. Does not support the IMAP idle protocol, but It does handle attachments, and it handles them very well. I'm not sure what it's going for. I think they've got a standard version for like $30, but then I just paid another $20 to upgrade. So, anyway, one other thing I wanted to mention. If you like the idea of the LED changing, go out to Google and do a search for Trio Allegro, Allegro. It's free. I don't think the guy's really developing it anymore, but it's a completely stable application. It works extremely well, and it does several things. First of all, it will allow you to change your LED to indicate that you have a voicemail or an SMS waiting, and they can be different. You can have your voicemail be a rapidly flashing LED and your SMS be red, or vice versa, or whatever. Another thing that's very interesting, if you're familiar with the Trio 600, the backlighting, the keyboard backlighting and the screen brightness, Trio Allegro will adjust those according to the time of day. So you can say, you know, if it's after 6 p.m., just turn on my keyboard backlight because, you know, I'm outside, it's dark, and I can't find the two friggin' keys to do it. Which you can't hit with one hand, by the way. You've got to put down your cigarette and hit both buttons at the same time. So Trio Allegro fixes that. It's an excellent application, extremely stable, and best of all, completely free. I'm all about free stuff. Free stuff is great. Anyway, I think that's it for my second podcast. I'm going to go ahead and turn my Trio on and have it upload and... maybe 45 minutes later, it'll be posted. Again, this is Russell Harmon talking to you from Houston, Texas, the Trio Podcaster. Thank you for tuning in, and I will talk to you later.